Hello, my name is Eli Tuckman, and thank you for joining me in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Eruvin. Mishnah Tesvav, the 15th Mishnah of the 10th Perek in Eruvin, concludes our series of Mishnayos about Yisurei Shabbos that are permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, as well as all of Maseches Shabbos and Maseches Eruvin. And we close with a case having to do with the Isser of Muktzah. Now, one of the categories of living creatures is a sheretz. A sheretz, which you might directly translate as a creepy crawly. That category includes rodents, it includes small reptiles, and similar creatures. The bodies of dead sheretzim are not tameh, except for eight specific sheretzim listed in the Torah. And those shmona sheretzim, those eight sheretzim that are specifically listed in Torah, their dead bodies are tameh. They are, in fact, avos hatumah, and they generate tumah in people or things that touch them. Now, several of these eight sheretzim are quite common, including a lizard and a mouse. So Chazal often use the sheretz as an example of something tameh, even though many, many species of sheretz are not tameh. So if a dead sheretz, one of the eight, right, that Shmona Sheretzim that are Tameh, is found in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Sheretz Shenim Tzav HaMikdash. So now we have a problem, right? It must be removed. It is usur to bring Tumah into the Beis HaMikdash, and it's usur to allow Tumah to remain in the Beis HaMikdash. And so we need to get rid of it. We're allowed, and so the Mishnah tells us we are allowed to take this dead Sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, even though a dead sheretz is muktzah. Obviously, it has no primitive use on Shabbos, and so it would not be allowed to be moved outside the Beis HaMikdash, but because of Kedushas HaMikdash and the fact that we need to remove this tumah from the Beis HaMikdash, you are permitted to pick up and move the sheretz. Now, the question that our Mishnah now deals with, though, is how should this sheretz be removed? Because there are two possibilities, and we will see that each has an advantage and a disadvantage. So we have two opinions, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha and Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to start with Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Kohen motzio behem yano. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says the Kohen who found the sheretz should use his belt and reach down and pick up the sheretz with his belt. Doing so would make his belt tameh, but it wouldn't make him tameh, because the sheretz is an av hatumah. That would make the belt a rishon l'tumah, but a rishon l'tumah does not make a person a sheni l'tumah. And so he would not become tameh picking up this sheretz. And that way, shelo l'shahus satumah. That way we don't delay. We don't leave tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. We said that it is forbidden to allow tumah to remain in the Beis HaMikdash. And this way we get it out fast. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. So we're getting it out fast, but we are making more things tumah, right? Because now we have a tumah belt in the Beis HaMikdash as well, which is also being removed. But we're going to have two things that are tumah, even though for a shorter period of time. Rabbi Yehuda says that's a problem. We'll do it the other way. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bitzvas shaletz. We leave the sheretz where it is, and we go find wooden tongs, or some other, wooden tongs are not mekabel tumah, because they're pshute kliyetz. They're simple wood, flat wood, that does not have a receptacle in it, and therefore it is not mekabel tumah. It can't become tumah. And so you need to go find a wooden tongs, or some other similar item that isn't mekabel tumah. And when you have that object that is not mekabel tumah, then you come back and you lift up the sheretz and you take it out. So this way, says Rabbi Yehuda, shelo l'rabos es hatumah. That way the amount of tumah is minimized, all right, because nothing else becomes tumah except for the sheretz itself. Of course, in our focus on not allowing the amount of tumah to increase, we have allowed the time of tumah to increase. So it's really a trade-off. Do you allow the tameh object to remain in the Beis HaMikdash longer, or do you allow more things to become tameh? And that is a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha and Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda that we are more concerned about making other things tameh than about leaving the sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash for a slightly longer time. Now, meheichan motziyan oso. From what parts of the Beis HaMikdash is this halacha in place? Remember, this halacha is to protect the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, and it allows the violation of an Issur Darabanan of Shabbos in order to protect the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. So from where are you allowed to actually remove this dead Sheretz? So in order to understand our two answers to this question, we have to talk a little bit about the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is built on a mountain, and that mountain is fully enclosed by a wall. The floor is then also built up so that it doesn't necessarily look like a mountain, but it is. And so this wall around the mountain encloses an area called Har HaBayis. There is Kedusha to Har HaBayis. Karbanos can be eaten within Har HaBayis, but relative to everything else, it's the lowest level of Kedusha. This area is roughly square-shaped, and it is the area that is a little bit familiar to us because the Kosel HaMaravi, the western wall that we have, and the remnants of the southern wall that we have, are the walls of the Har HaBayis, not of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now, in the northwestern corner of Har HaBayis, is a rectangular building. Now, it's not in the corner. It takes up a very significant percentage of Har HaBayis itself. But the open space on Har HaBayis is mostly on the south and somewhat on the east. And very, very little is actually open space on the corner, on the northwest corner, because that's the building is skewed towards there. And it's a rectangular building which runs east-west. And generally speaking, you'll see that that within the Beis HaMikdash, the further west you go, the more kadosh it is. That's not 100%, but it's mostly true. So this building that runs east-to-west in the northwestern corner of Har HaBayis, the eastern third of the building is known as the Ezras HaNashim. The Ezras HaNashim is least holy of the spaces within the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why it's furthest east. As we move further west, the remaining two-thirds of the building is known as the Azara. The Azara has greater Kedusha than the Ezras HaNashim, and that is really where we kind of think about the working Beis HaMikdash beginning. About one quarter of the way into the Azara, as you head from east to west, is the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, as we said before, is quite large. And as we proceed further beyond the Mizbeach, towards the western side of the Azara, taking up about three-fifths of the length of the Azara, is a T-shaped building, a very large building. This section of the Azara has no roof, but within it there is another building that does have a roof. That large building is shaped like a T, with the flat side facing east, right, towards the Azara and the Ezras HaNashim and the Mizbeach, and that flat side is called the Ulam. It has higher level of Kedusha than the Azara, and the leg, the pointy part of the T, is on the west, and that is called the Heichal, and it has still higher Kedusha. Now, within the Heichal, there are two big rooms. On the eastern side is the Kodesh. The Kodesh is the room that contains the menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach HaZahav. And then on the west is the Kodesh HaKadashim, which is, of course, the holiest point of the Beis HaMikdash, the holiest point in the universe, and that is where the Aron goes. So, as we see, more west in the Beis HaMikdash generally means more kadosh. So, in the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash itself, you go from the going east to west. You go from the Ezras HaNashim, one step up in kedusha to the Azara, one step up in kedusha to the area beyond the Mizbeach, Bein Ulam Mizbeach, one step up in kedusha into the Ulam itself, one step up kedusha into the Heichal, particularly the front of the Heichal, which is the Kodesh, and one further step up into the Kodesh HaKadashim, all moving from east to west. So now that we kind of have this picture, we have our machlokas about what parts of this Beis HaMikdash you actually have to remove the sheretz from. Min ha-Heichal u-min ha-Ulam u-bein ha-Ulam ha-Mizbeach. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. Rabbi Shimon ben Anas says, going in order of decreasing Kedusha, the Sheretz, of course, has to be removed from the Heichal, right, from the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim. It also has to be removed from the Ulam, which is kind of the top bar part of the T, going further further east and therefore less kadosh, and even from the parts of the Azara that are to the west of the Mizbeach, the space called Bein Ulam LaMizbeach, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, that part of the Azara has an even higher level of Kedusha, and those are the areas from which the dead Cheres must be removed. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, everything to the east of that does not have to have the Cheres removed. So we're talking about from the Mizbeach to the east in the Azara, and certainly not the Ezras Nashim, and certainly not Har HaBayis. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Makom Shechayv Mazdono Kores, Val Shigaso Chatas, Misham Motzienoso. Rabbi Akiva says, listen, wait a minute. There is an Isser in the Torah, explicitly written in the Torah, of a person who is Tamei cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash. So, very simply, the parts of the Beis HaMikdash that person can't go into, and if he does, he's Chayv Kores, and if he does it by accident, to bring a Karban Chatas, it's a major sin. So those are the parts where Tumah is a really big, big, big deal, and those are the parts from which the Sheretz cannot be allowed to remain and must be removed. And that is the whole Azara. So not the Ezras Nashim and not Har HaBayis, but the entire Azara. So Rabbi Akiva expands the space that Rabbi Shimon ben Anas includes to include the entire eastern side of the Azara, the Mizbeach and everything to the east of the Azara, up until Shar Nicanor, which is the dividing line between the Azara itself and the Ezras Nashim. And the Mishnah continues that according to both opinions, whether according to Rabbi Shimon ben Anas or Rabbi Akiva, we have the areas from which the Sheretz should be removed, Ushar kol makomos, but what about everywhere else? If it's not in one of those places, it's anywhere else in the Beis HaMikdash or on Har HaBayis, kofin alef pesach there. Then you take a pot or a large bowl and you cover it up, and wait until after Shabbos. Those parts, of course, we want to remove Tumah from those parts of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not important enough, pressing enough, for us to violate even an Isra Darbanon for it. So let's just put a bowl over it. That way, nobody sees the Sheretz. Nobody bangs into it by accident and becomes Tameh. And we'll deal with it after Shabbos. After Shabbos, we can pick it up and remove it. There's no problem. Now, the last piece of the Mishnah and the last piece of the Masechta is not about this. It's not a continuation of the whole Sheretz piece. It is a continuation of other things that we've learned in this Masechta, and particularly this subject of the Chachamim giving you permission to do certain Isurei Darbanan in the Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Shimon is explaining what is an apparent contradiction in his opinions. Because when it comes to the idea of permitting you to do things that are ordinarily not permitted under special circumstances, he is mekil in one area that we learned and machmir in another area that we learned. And he was mekil back in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Aleph. We learned that if someone went out of the Tuchum, right, they walked outside of the 2,000 amos you're allowed to walk, you're not allowed to come back in. If you walk outside the Tchum, you're stuck. That's it. You're out. And Rabbi Shimon had said in that Mishnah, no, you can come back if you step out a foot or an amo or whatever. You can even come back if you went out as much as up to 15 amos. And the reason, he said, is that the measurements, you know, the markings of here's the end of the Tchum are deliberately cut short. We mark them 15 amos short, because sometimes people make a mistake. And this way we keep everybody safe by marking it short. And so if you accidentally go beyond, you violate the area that the Chachamim marked as the end of the Tchum, you still haven't really, really violated the Tchum, and so we allow you to come back in. We suspend that mark, this is the end of the Tchum, and we allow you to come back in. On the other hand, two Mishnayos ago, in Mishnah Yud Gimel, we learned about a case of the harp string breaking in the Beis HaMikdash, for the Leviim to use their harps. And we said that you can even violate Nisr D'Oraisa to retie the string on the harp. Although it's not printed in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon actually disagrees with that. Rabbi Shimon says you may not tie a knot, because that's also D'Oraisa, and the D'Oraisa is not suspended in order to fix the harp. You can only tie a bow, which is a Darabanan. And so one might wonder, Rabbi Shimon, how come you're mekil in some areas, and how come you're machmir in others? And therefore, Rabbi Shimon answers. Rabbi Shimon says, Makom she'itiru lecha chachamim. When my opinion, from the way my perspective, is that those areas the Chachamim said, yeah, we allow this under special circumstances, that's only Mishal Chanas Nulach. Basically, they're giving back something that was already yours. There was an Isser D'Oraisa in place, but beyond that Isser D'Oraisa, things are permitted. The Chachamim then said, well, we're adding on top of that. For your protection, we're going to add an additional Gezerah beyond what's already permitted to you. And we're going to say, you know what, you shouldn't do this either. But midoraisa, you had a right to do that. It was permitted. So Rabbi Shimon says, when I say, you know, it's okay to be makil here, that's when it's a question of a derabanan. And therefore, the Chachamim are permitting you basically to do what you're already really allowed to do, midoraisa. And they're just suspending their derabanan. But I can't agree that we go lekula when it's an issur d'oraisa, which you were never allowed to do. Then the Chachamim would not say, okay, well, in this circumstance, you're allowed to break a d'oraisa. No, d'oraisas can't be broken, and we don't permit that. And that's why, with the harp string, I am machmir, and I don't allow the waving of a d'oraisa just because we need that harp string to fulfill the avoda. And in fact, I only permitted in Darbanan Shelohi Tirulach Ela Mishum Shavus. The Chacham only permitted you those things that were Asur Darbanan Mishum Shavus, in order to protect the Yisuri Daraisa. And so those things, under certain circumstances, the Chacham were Matir. That brings us to the conclusion of Maseches Eruvin, Solik Maseches Eruvin. Mazel Tov, great congratulations to those who learned with us the entire Maseches Eruvin. It's a very big accomplishment. And now it's time for us to move on to our next Masechta, to Maseches Pesachim.